Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
This is Evan Dawson. If you like conversations that take you beyond the headlines, join me on Connections. Every day, we dig into the issues shaping Rochester with the people living them, researching them, even trying to change them. No hot takes, no shouting most of the time. Just real conversations that keep you involved in your community. Listen to Connections wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Dialed In. I'm Wade Reed, and I made the mistake of not inviting my co-host tonight. So we're missing Aaron, and apparently we're all very disappointed.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm especially disappointed.
But I do have here our producer, Chris Lindstrom, as always.
Hey, Wade, how you doing tonight?
I have a fun story, and I'm going to introduce our guest and then tell my fun story. So, here with us tonight is Billy Lyons, Rochester native and founder of Faw of Coffee. And I can't wait to talk to Billy. Billy has wide-ranging experience. I asked Billy for a little CV earlier, and this is like there's 10, 11, 12 places.
Yeah.
Different all over the coffee industry, all over the state of New York and the Eastern Seaboard. So looking forward to hearing about that. You guys know how I say a lot that I never sleep.
Yeah.
So I was dropping off a wholesale order today, and this person looks at it and is like, oh, is this the order I put in at like 4 a.m. Monday? And I was just like, yeah. And the other person working there was like, how do you know that? I was awake. Like, my phone dinged and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Locals order. Like, so I really genuinely do not sleep. And that's why I'm glad we're drinking coffee tonight.
It's like, how is it here that fast?
It's just like,
you're not, are you a drone, Wade? Like, are you a drone?
So you got out of bed and went to the, yeah, no, yeah. I never went to bed.
I've been here the whole time.
Aaron says nothing can be worse than the disappointment I have in myself. I put laughing emojis and everything, guys. I made sure he knew this was a joke. And there's the Ryan Reynolds meme in the group chat too. So Aaron, we miss you, and you are missing out on a really nice coffee. So
yeah. So actually, why don't you before we dive in, this is kind of a special release coffee, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be. And we'll talk more with Billy about that. But yeah. This is an anaerobic Ethiopian coffee, traceable to farm level. So that's really cool. It's farm direct. So,
which is not wildly common in Ethiopia.
It's becoming more common.
Is it?
So the ECX is becoming more and more of a failed experiment where direct export is actually better for the whole country.
Mm.
And the less there's like a chain of custody there in country. I mean, especially it gets into a lot of the things that I think we've talked about a little bit before about they put on all these micro loans and then they switched all the currency on the interest, and it was this whole big fiasco how they funded basically the war they were making in the northern part of the country, the civil war that the government more or less started. So I think since that whole financial aspect is collapsing, we're getting a lot more direct export. And that's
interesting.
We get coffees like this, which is coffee's magnificent. And one of the reasons I brought this coffee in is because it's going to be Billy's second drop for Faw. So Billy, let's start with like, who you are. Let's cover this wide-ranging CV dating back to 2014. How did you get into coffee? Where are you from? Shoe size, social security number.
I'm a size 11 and a half, 12.
Lies. It's bigger. He's a 13, yeah. 13, 14.
See my socks.
He's got to order special order shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was a Pizza Hut boy for a long time.
What is that?
That means like, I worked at
you
Pizza
worked
Hut.
At, I was not I'm that like, I, what I kind really, of weird internet slang did yeah, we just get into?
I worked at Pizza Hut and then I happened to just like apply to Boulder Coffee. And that was back when it was owned by everyone's favorite slumlord, Elijah.
Now, wait a second. The Pizza Hut at the time, was that still buffet Pizza Hut?
Oh, yeah. It was like the last one. It was the one on Webster back, like had the salad bar and everything.
Now, Pizza Hut buffet, the people who are frequenters of the Pizza Hut buffet
yeah.
are a very specific lot.
Oh, yeah.
These people are dedicated to quantity.
Yep.
Because there's very few places you can eat mass quantities of pizza.
Yeah.
Like a Pizza Hut lunch buffet.
And they did.
Are you like checking their pockets for breadsticks on the way out? Is that like, is that that kind of crew?
It was like you couldn't tell if they were them or a breadstick at that point. But
sir, you are at least 40% breadstick. Yeah. I'm going to have to ask you to pump the brakes.
Yeah. But yeah, then I applied to Boulder and worked there for like a couple months. And then they asked me to be the cafe manager there.
Was that when they had multiple locations or?
Yeah. So okay. I was the manager at the Alexander location.
The one that still exists.
Cool. Yep. Yep. And then I also managed the public market, which was crazy because I was in undergrad at the time. So I would on Saturdays open the public market and then I would have like 2 hours and then I would close the Alexander location.
Wow.
But we also had the spot over on like Brooks and Genesee at that point too.
Right.
But that one was weird. It was like that one, I think, either got sold or closed down like a few months after I started managing. So yeah, I don't know.
Did they tell you that at the time or was it just like, don't worry about that store anymore? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, basically. Most of that place was very much like, oh, you know, that thing that you were doing for a while. Just don't do that.
Stop
anymore.
Doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Counting yeah. things and
yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Stop being that.
Yeah, exactly. So the one, I mean, Alexander, that's pretty much a staple. Yeah. In Rochester. It's been there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I graduated from college in 05, and I remember, you know, the first time going into the city was like, you know, you'd go to a Boulder thing because somebody wanted to meet up.
Exactly.
And that was a place where you went, and even then, that was still the place.
I moved here in, like, 2010, and I think that might have been the first, like, coffee shop we went to.
Yeah, sounds about
thinking,
right.
You know,
there really, like, wasn't a lot at that point.
Right.
Because,
right.
I mean, Boulder also was on Park Ave where yep. Sasso is now. Yep.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but that I think it was Sasso already by the time I got to Boulder.
Yeah.
Or like very newly Sasso or something like that. It was somewhere around then. I don't know the exact.
Trying to think 2014. Yeah, yeah. That's probably about right. That's probably about right.
Yeah.
All right. So then in 2016, did you move to Buffalo? Is that how you got the job?
Yeah, so I started dating my now wife, and she was finishing up school in Buffalo. So I was at the time, I was working at Equal Grounds, and then I was also working at the Little Theater Cafe, and I was like sort of a manager at the Little Theater Cafe, and then she went to Buffalo to finish school, and then I was like, you know, it'd be cool if I didn't have to travel back and forth. So I kind of like told my roommate, Steven, to watch my cat for me. And I would stop back on my days off. And I kind of just like weaseled my way into her apartment and lived in Buffalo for
wow.
the year. But yeah, I worked at a shop called Perks Coffee, which no longer exists, but it was on like Elmwood, like just before like Allentown.
That place was hopping too.
Yeah, that place, lots of food. And then we were like one of the first over winter contracts, I think.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool,
like before they had shops, really.
They're still around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their shop is, you know, it's a tiny little spot, but that's.
Is it the one next to the record store? I've only seen it from the outside.
I think they have a couple now.
Okay. Yeah. They, okay. They have a couple now. All right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And their, you know, their staple stuff is just rock solid. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we were also one that shop was like one of the first shops to ever carry like Elmhurst milk.
Yeah.
So we got to good like one. Do a lot of testing.
Really with, good stuff.
Yeah,
really
with that stuff. And they would bring us all sorts of like chocolate peanut milk and all this like yeah, crazy stuff.
I remember they dropped off like hazelnut milk at Fifth Frame. There was all kinds of macadamia. Yeah,
the walnut milk is the best one.
Walnut's good. Huh. I just remember being like, man, alternative milks are about to blow up and this place is great. Yeah. But being in Rochester, you had to buy it by the pallet.
Yeah.
They didn't have like a great warehousing operation at the time. Yeah. So we never got to bring it in. But yeah. All right. So how do you pronounce this? Gulu Gulu?
Gulu Gulu Cafe.
Gulu Gulu.
Yeah. So I grew up in the inner city, but then like after my wife graduated, we kind of were like, I had never moved away before. So I was like, you know what? Let's get out of here. And we moved. I had the intention of going to grad school, and so we moved out to Salem, Massachusetts. And I didn't go to grad school yet. But, yeah, we lived in Salem for a year, like in downtown Salem. There wasn't a lot of coffee there at the time, but yeah. Now there's like a few shops. Like there's like Odd Meter and like Kid Dreams and like these like pretty cool like specialty shops there now.
Cool.
But it was just Front Street Coffee and the Gulu Gulu Cafe at the time, and I got hired actually as a cook at the Gulu Gulu Cafe, and because I don't drink alcohol or anything, and it was basically like a craft beer bar, cocktail bar with an espresso machine, and they like did not trust that I would be able to like serve alcohol because I didn't drink alcohol. Because
you don't know what it tastes like, and, ostensibly.
But I started like doing research and stuff, and I kept coming up to them like, hey, is there an opening on the bar yet? Is there an opening on the bar yet? And they were just like, and then finally somebody quit, and I got to go behind the bar, and I was like the only coffee person there. And was doing like latte art and stuff, and it was like everyone was like, what and all the yeah. servers and stuff, they were like, you know, I've been getting better tips because I'm giving people latte art. And it was like the most mediocre latte art ever, but it was just like at that time
in the land
was,
of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Yeah, there was like nothing there yeah. that was specialty at all.
That's really fun. So yeah. you've referenced school a couple times. You yeah. want to share what your training is?
I have a master's in fine art. It's a technically an interdisciplinary program. I went to Lesley University in Cambridge.
Cool.
But I'm mostly like a painter and like printmaker.
By Soda trade, grad.
Mostly. Yeah. School of the arts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he went to the most notable university in Cambridge, so it's the shocking one, you didn't
know that.
The
one we've definitely
right
all heard
yeah,
of.
One of yeah. them starts with like an H or something.
But yeah, some, yeah. yeah, some subpar yeah. university.
I think I've heard of that
yeah.
one. I know Congress complains about that one.
I could see them from my lot. Class peons.
So then, so you get the opportunity on the bar there. What leads you to Stax was next?
That's
what
next yeah, Stax Espresso Bar. So on my other, I apologize to my wife, Hannah, but I have made her move essentially every year that we've been together. because once I got out of Rochester, I was just like, oh, I need to flee
just
places.
Keep moving.
Yeah. I got to keep it
just
moving.
Keep going.
But yeah,
I'm not
we
running
moved.
From anything.
yeah. Just my past. But,
why is your grass so green?
yeah. But, yeah, I was just like, oh, UAlbany could be a school I'd go to. It could be. So we should just move to Albany. And I was like, I've been to Albany once. It was fine. And then we moved to
yeah,
Albany.
Yeah, Albany's fine.
Well, we visited
Albany's
Albany.
A solid fine.
Yeah, we visited Albany a couple times, like, before we had made the move. And we were both kind of like, oh, this is cool. Like, Hannah has family up in like the Saratoga region, stuff yeah. like that. So we were like closer to like some people we knew. And then I knew that there was a skate shop in Albany called Seasons. And I went in there because I had like been following them online and stuff. And I started talking to the one owner, Trevor, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm thinking about moving here. Like we're trying to find apartments. I'm trying to find a job. He was like, oh, here's a landlord's phone number. Oh, you should go down to Stacks down the street. They're like a super good coffee shop and you should just apply.
Nice.
And I did. And I ended up getting hired there. And I called the landlord up and he was just like, oh, it's just the two of you? Oh, you're a young couple? Oh, you guys don't have jobs here yet? And I was like, yeah. He was just like, oh, the rent's only, it's like $700. And I was like, oh, do you want like a security deposit or any like bank statements or anything? He was like, no, you guys are fine.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, right. Yeah, it was great.
You like talk to two people and then you live in Albany.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of what I imagine it to yeah. be. Like.
It's also like you look at the snapshot of a decade yeah. later.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, oh, whatever. Like, yeah. you're probably fine. Like, the demand wasn't there. It's like, oh, it's probably fine.
$700 a month and $700 a month.
The spot,
we'll see you then.
The spot yeah. we lived in was like, it was a pretty solid location. It was like behind like College of St. Rose and like there was a grocery store in walking distance.
Dude, I would, can't beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So Stacks, you say it was your first specialty coffee job.
Yeah. So, Ron Greco, the like original owner of Stacks, very like smart coffee person. And I had never like worked at a place that like cared that much before.
Yeah.
And they were in the process how they had just bought a roaster. But so we were mainly like a guest roast shop,
sure.
but we'd get stuff in like Black and White and like and Cloud and like all these like at the time, like smaller spots. And I was like, I've never had anything like this. We had like gotten like eugenoid coffee
yeah. Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
like people were buying like $15 pour overs of it and all this stuff. And I was wow. like, this is crazy.
Yeah. in Albany.
Yeah. Well,
that's pushing the limits. I mean, even in many ways now that's
yeah.
like
we, yeah, we're
you're seeing all those sourced coffees out of place is yeah. that's a hell of an education to be diving into the deep end that fast.
Yeah, and honestly, like living in Albany, I'll say this, I think that the capital region has the best coffee scene of anywhere in New York, including New York City. Like for the size that it is, like they have such like good, like heavy hitting shops
yeah.
that a lot of people look over because it's just like, oh, it's just Albany.
It's Albany.
But they have like, there's like Stacks. There's a, I don't know if it's Touchy or Tucci or whatever.
Yeah.
But they were Superior Merchandise when I was there. There's Elias Coffee Roasters, which is my old manager from Stacks.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
He's from Colombia. So he like gets all his coffees. He does like mostly Colombian coffees and he roasts it all himself. Mm. And he's sweet. Like, he's like a career barista. That was, his name's Hernan. He was like the first coffee person that I was like, oh, this person's done this almost their entire life. And I could like see how much he loved it. And I was right. like, that's cool.
It's that, also like, so interesting. You mentioned that I was in Atlanta. It was maybe a year or two ago. And I ran into a guy who's doing a pop-up
mm-hmm.
that was from Colombia and was only doing Colombian sourced coffees,
yeah.
but he was pulling just wild stuff
yeah.
and he was roasting, but that's all he did
yeah.
was Colombian stuff. And I do like that when you have the depth of availability of sourcing
yeah. another,
to that level.
Another cool thing about Hernan is he would run to work. So he loved opening with me because I would get there super early and I would have
You'd
everything
have the
almost
door open,
done.
Yeah. Yep.
And he would run like 10 miles to work every morning.
Jeez.
And he'd show up and not a single drop of sweat on that guy.
That's
yeah. I was like, I
concerning.
Don't know. Yeah, it was awesome.
Albany wild. Also has like a bigger volume place. What is it? Kruve is also there?
Yeah, Kruve Coffee is up in Saratoga.
Oh, it's Saratoga. Okay.
Yeah. Their breakfast sandwiches, probably some of the best breakfast sandwiches I've ever had.
That's
that,
sweet.
That maple sriracha bacon. That's
all right.
the stuff.
All right. And then COVID year.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I bummed out. I moved back to Rochester. I had to like essentially Stacks. The owner was like, hey guys, like, I don't know what's happening. So like we could close down now and you guys could all get on unemployment before everyone else has to get on unemployment.
Yeah,
so he
yeah.
like got us out ahead of it. And then he also like the whole, like for a few months, like started like a GoFundMe for all of us.
Wow.
And like a few months after I had moved back to Rochester, cause we moved in with Hannah's parents. Cause we were like, I don't know what's going on.
None
all of
us
a sudden
knew
I just
what
got
was going
like,
on.
I just got like a chunk of money Venmo'd to me.
All right.
Just because he was just like, hey, I got all this money for you guys. Here's it split up evenly. Here you guys go. which is cool.
Yeah.
That's also like now when I'm driving through Albany to go somewhere else or going to the Adirondacks, it's like, oh, wow, a coffee shop owner treats the employees well.
Yeah.
And also does really good coffee. Seems like I've got places to
did what was in their best interest during a hard time when a lot of people just protected their interests. Yeah.
Ron's no longer with the company, but he sold his like share in it, but now he's a woodworker now, and he makes really cool furniture and like wooden bowls and stuff like that.
Great. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
So cool.
So then you moved back out of you had to run away from Rochester again.
Yeah. So during COVID, I was like, all right, I've been talking about us moving for me to like go to grad school for like years at this point, and I haven't done anything about it. So I was like, I'm just going to apply. And then I applied to Leslie, MassArt, like New Hampshire College of Art and Design, because like we really love New England, and I wanted to get us back towards there. And I got into MassArt and Leslie, and MassArt was like my top school.
Nice.
And then the director of Leslie, Ben Sloat, he was like, I really want you to go here. Give me a day. And then he came back and got me a scholarship.
Nice.
He
walked into the right office and was like, I need a scholarship.
Like, I'm still like super grateful for that because
that's
incredible. I'm in like obviously some student loan debt because it's America. But I am definitely not in as much debt as most people who have a master's degree.
Yeah, so that's
I'm
amazing.
I'm very grateful for that.
So were you still in coffee in Worcester?
Yeah, so Worcester's coffee scene, they have one kind of specialty shop that's owned by some guy that was in like some pop punk band. And it's like coffee and like motorcycles and stuff. I don't remember what it's called. But that was like the only shop, but it was like, I felt like it was very like cool guide. Like when I went in there, like I felt uncomfortable. So I ended up
not for artists, yes. Artists not welcome.
Yeah. So I ended up, so I don't love to talk shit about other coffee shops to the public.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
into a microphone.
Yeah. Into a microphone. But there's this one spot that I worked at in Marlboro, Massachusetts called the Coffee Loft. It was owned by like a 20-year-old girl whose parents bought her a coffee shop, and
she got the money.
Yeah. And I got there and I was clearly the only person that knew anything about coffee, and she didn't wear shoes.
Great
start
to a professional organization.
Could not possibly be a problem.
Yeah. And then she would be
nothing could go wrong there.
Yeah. And then there was a back room that was just a bunch of beanbag chairs, and they would just be back there ripping dabs.
Huh.
Like while the shop was open, to the point where like customers would walk by to go to the bathroom and they'd just be ripping dabs.
So when you learned about running a business, Wade, what page of the manual was ripping fat clouds
It's around page 31.
Blowing straight cotton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think most of like the, startup books that I've read, it's in there. It's in there somewhere.
Also, why would you wear shoes, We all know this about coffee shops, is the floors are really clean.
What's the worst that could happen? Not only clean, you never drop glass.
Yeah. Or hot.
Hot liquid sharp objects.
There's no boiling liquids everywhere.
Yeah. So don't go there.
This is not officially endorsed by the Dialed In podcast, but maybe someone bought her shoes. They bought her a coffee shop. Yeah. Maybe they bought her shoes.
Practical shoes.
I applied to the only other coffee shop at the time. I don't know how Worcester is right now for coffee, but
great AAA baseball team.
It looks stronger. I just did a quick search. So he's multiple by the veneer of specialty coffee shops.
That's good.
There's a number that have at least the veneer of being a specialty coffee
shop. I worked at Bean Counter Cafe and Bakery, which was essentially just a bakery.
Just a bakery.
That, like, the one owner did like coffee as like a hobby. We served like La Colombe coffee there. It was fine.
I love La Colombe. Yeah. They're like definitely one of my favorite kind of legacy third wave.
Yeah. And it was good because I like knew how to dial coffee in, and I was like obviously the only person that was hired that knew how to do coffee there also.
Yeah. Sweet.
So the owner like really liked me because he was like, oh, finally
we got our coffee person.
Finally.
Yeah.
So the one manager that was there, he quit and he became like a manager of like the coffee shops that are in like Nordstrom and stuff like that. I don't know.
I bet it's good money.
Yeah. I think it was. I think it was like kind of insane.
Yep. But that's great money.
But yeah, then I became the manager there. And I just like really wasn't feeling Worcester at the time. Like it was just like, it felt too much like here, like Rochester for me, where I was just like, I felt like I didn't get far enough. Cause that's like how I used to see things, where I was just like, I need to.
You wanted to feel like a different vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Entirely. You want to feel kind of like a different person.
Yeah. Like on me and Hannah's days off, we would drive away from Worcester to go do fun stuff.
So like, that's hard. Yeah. That's hard. If you don't even have basic entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure Worcester's like, I've heard like, all the teachers from Lesley University, they started essentially the same program, but at Clark University in Worcester. And they've been telling me that the city's great now. So, I mean, maybe we were just there at a turning point.
Just before everything took off.
Yeah. But
and maybe, just maybe, it's all your fault.
It probably was.
They were just waiting for you to leave.
Yeah, I'm a dark cloud of negative energy.
It's so
it's
then
also really hilly.
You
like, why are you so hilly?
Why are you making me work so much?
Yeah, I just wanted to walk somewhere.
Yeah, I just wanted to walk somewhere, and everything looks like a highway. Yeah.
So the next year, the ritual move was
to Providence, Rhode Island.
Sweet.
I actually got my job at the Nitro Bar before we moved to Providence.
Cool. Okay.
And I would drive from Worcester.
It's a little bit of a drive. Providence.
Yeah, it was like an hour.
Okay.
But that was my first coffee job that wasn't behind a bar.
Okay.
Because the Nitro Bar, they started off as like a coffee cart. They're a young couple who are like my age or maybe a year older than me. And they started off literally not even like the typical like espresso machine coffee cart. It was a cart that just served nitro cold brew.
It's awesome.
But
which is kind of funny for that climate though.
But cold brew in New England is like that's what you drink. Nobody drinks anything else.
All right. I love it.
Brew.
I love it.
Shout out to Giant Coffee Shops who completely changed the paradigm on coffee.
Yeah. So New England's a iced coffee mecca. That's what they drink. And I love that about them.
Okay.
But yeah, Nitro Cart is what they were called before. And now that's Nitro Bar because they have bars now because they have multiple locations. But I was the brewery and wholesale assistant. So we brewed, like, it was essentially set up like a brewery, like you'd brew beer, but for cold brew. So we did like thousands of gallons of cold brew a day.
That's awesome.
And we brewed for like Down East coffee roasters. We brewed for Bolt coffee.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. We've got a lot of friends who are connected to Bolt in one way or another.
Yeah. We brewed for them. We also got our oat milk from them for some reason at the time.
Hey, why not?
I went to pick it up all
through
the time.
Bolt.
Yeah. I think they just like,
what did they have?
It was Oatly.
It was Oatly.
I think
it was Oatly before,
like,
it was like huge.
Well, I think they just had a contract with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't know if there was some kind of like thing with like, oh, we'll brew your coffee for this price if you order the oat milk so that we don't have to get a contract.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool.
That's a good idea.
They were very, very nice people. But yeah, the Nitro Bar has, when I was leaving after I graduated, we kind of decided to move back to Rochester because
you had to move that year.
Yeah. Cause I was like, you know what? We've been here for too long. No, but Providence
coming up on 10 months and I'm really uncomfortable.
No, Providence was like one of my favorite places we've ever lived.
Cool. I've only been to Providence. Actually, I've been twice.
It's a very cool city.
It is cool. I like
also
it a lot.
Shout out to Fall River, like one of the Portuguese homes in north in the United States.
I had to drive through Fall River a lot to like deliver stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, I brewed a bunch of cold brew all the time. I kegged a bunch of cold brew all the time. Then I would deliver the cold brew. And it was awesome because I only worked with the owners would be there sometimes, but it was like me and my old coworker Mike and Max, and then Yeah, and our dishwasher, George.
It's like a small team that all kind of cared about the same things.
Yeah, it was awesome. And we were all like different ages.
Not trying to shoehorn coffee into anything. It's understood that that's the main purpose for being there. Yeah, that's really, that will change a lot of things. That's kind of similar to my experience at Joe Bean, being like, no, we're like really about coffee. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and feeling like you're not forcing
and
it
now
too
they're
much.
Like, they're like blowing up. Like they got like super famous on TikTok and stuff. And like they are opening a shop in New York City soon. They've got 3 or 4 shops in Rhode Island right now. So yeah, it's cool to see. They were like the first like younger entrepreneurial couple that I saw like doing coffee that they like started to actually make money off of it. Cause they were doing
rare.
Like, yeah, they, yeah. Very rare. They were doing it very like smart and like they being young people were like, oh, we can do the things that young people do to get the word out. And they have a really great like social media strategy and stuff. And
yeah,
it blew up.
That's, I mean, that's the trick. And it, you know, so that time around like 2022, I feel like that was kind of the last time you could do that as a brand. I feel like now you have to have size and already have the attention for those platforms to really amplify you. Like,
yeah, I think it's also like, I don't want to say it's luck, because obviously it takes a lot of like effort.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I think that's the part of it is like you need to put the effort in all the time
to
the point where like it's exhausting.
And it only really makes sense if you have a dedicated person.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not just consistency. Early on, consistency was enough to be visible.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, we posted that we have new drinks every week or multiple times a week. That was enough to catch on and, oh, we have some aesthetic and then we're this. And now it's, like you said, it is a full-time job to do this, to do it well. I mean, it's daunting.
Well, and ultimately the platforms want you to pay.
Yeah.
Well,
so like you can see even like on the Dialed In Instagram, which like we do pretty consistently when we're recording, you see that first one after we haven't posted for a little bit always hits like 2,000 views.
Yeah.
Or close to that. And then the next 4, as we're getting more and more consistent, it's like 600, 400, 200. And it's like I get it. You want me to give you money to boost these because you know how much that juicy like 2,000 number was cool to me, right? Like So
that was a thing when I was in grad school. We had a whole class on like marketing yourself as an artist, and you essentially had to like sometimes buy followers just so other people would think that you had more followers.
We were always getting approached with things like that at Fifth Frame and that was like the last time I ran like a really consistent kind of social media presence.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on our first break, but then you moved back to Rochester. So run me through speed run 2025 and 26.
All right.
Or 2023 to 26.
All right. So I moved back to Rochester. I helped Fran, the owner of Dogtown, open up Hydra Coffee House. And I started their coffee program there.
Monroe Ave, for those of you who haven't been, check it out. Love the breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah. I then worked there for like, I was the GM there for like a year and a half ish. Then my wife got promoted at her work and we had to move down to Queens abruptly, kind of.
Okay.
And I got,
that did seem kind of sudden.
Yeah.
The time.
It was a lot and we made it through it. And I think it was a interesting experience, but we're in a better spot now. But I worked at Partners Coffee in Long Island City.
That's like not as much of a managerial role, more of like a shift supervisor.
Yeah, I was a shift supervisor there, with the intention that they were opening another shop in Williamsburg and I was supposed to possibly manage that. But then some things happened, we moved back to be like, oh, hey guys, sorry, I've only been here for like 4 months and you guys were planning some things for me possibly, but I have to go back to my house now. but working there was like crazy because I had never worked in that high volume of a shop.
Yes.
And they like, even though they're technically like kind of a chain situation, like they were Toby Estates. They're from Australia.
Yeah.
And then they rebranded when they moved to New York City.
I didn't realize that those were, because they were still Toby's when they first moved.
So then they rebranded so that they kind of like appeared to be a smaller business, but they like really truly care about coffee. Like they source all their own coffee. They like pay their farmers super well.
Yeah.
They do a lot of training and like everybody, like if you don't pull a shot correctly, you have to repull it. Like it's like not the type of thing. It's like, oh, we got 50 people in line, but if
you
that shot's
through
not,
that line,
if that shot's not right, you're not giving them a drink.
Do you remember Vicky Wong?
Yeah,
she was one of the managers at Glen Edith a while back. She went when she moved to New York City. She worked for Toby. She was like one of their trainers and one of their like lead sales type person. So yeah, like awesome. It seems like an awesome company. I mean,
yeah, it was really
as much of that lives on in partners. I'd assume
it was really fun working there for the short lived time. I learned how to make drinks very well and fast.
Sweet.
Because I mean, I've never seen a shop that busy in my whole life besides maybe Gulu Gulu on Halloween.
That's awesome.
So,
and then back to Rochester, you hit up some dude. You were like, do you know any coffee jobs? And I was like, I know one.
Yeah. I was like, hey, you little rat, you know any jobs?
You live in a cave, right? You know about coffee jobs.
I'm like, hey, I know you're not sleeping. You probably seen them. but yeah.
You text me really early in the morning too, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and then you ended up at Rococo. Yeah,
I'm at Rococo Coffee down in the Mercantile on Main. Essentially came in there with the owner, Omar, who's like a great, like one of the best owners of a shop that I've worked at. Just very kind.
Wears shoes.
Yeah, he wears shoes. He doesn't rip sick bongs in the back or anything like that.
Are you always back there? No, I'm just kidding. I assume that's true of Omar.
But
he keeps that at home.
But yeah, I started working there. I came in. He had already kind of had a relationship with Joe Bean, so it felt natural because I had already like been talking to Jared when I worked at Hydra and stuff like that. So I switched out all the coffee, so it's not what it was.
It's not what it was. It's all Joe Bean.
Yeah, it's all Joe Bean. Nice. I also got rid of all the employees that were working there because they were literally...
Who seemed like lovely people, and we need to take a break.
No, they were terrible.
Other than that, it's exactly the same place it was before.
Yeah, other than the coffee being way better and the people that work there being way better and all of us having over 10 years each of a coffee experience.
Yeah, which is huge and rare.
Yeah, I think it's cool. It's weird because nobody goes there. It's like it's a very slow at the moment, but it's like a slow build because I've only been there for like maybe like 5 months.
Yeah.
But I've never worked the summer there or anything like that. So I'm hoping that people realize like, oh, the staff is all new here and they don't suck and they're good at what they do and the coffee's
they're
better.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, oh, they're like fine.
Like good job, guys.
Yeah, they're...
All right, we really do need to take a break. All right. Definitely go down to Rococo at the Mercantile on Main. What are the hours real quick?
8 to 3 Monday through Friday.
All right. So
no
this
weekends
is your...
yet.
No weekends. Oh, yeah. That yet is very pregnant. Yeah. So we're gonna take a quick break.
And we'll be right back.
If you're a fan of Rochester's local music scene, you follow The Sound on Instagram to keep up on who's playing where. The folks behind The Sound have joined Lunch at Or to bring you Nights and Weekends, featuring conversations with musicians, venue owners, fans, and changemakers to talk about the growth and evolution of music in Rochester. Stay connected to the scene. Check out Nights and Weekends wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back, and after only some light Richard Colon trash talk.
Yes.
Definitely less than usual.
For the social media, Richard Colon, the profile of a security guard in every part of his life.
We're going to have you on another episode, Billy, just to talk about your encounters with Richard Colon, the security guard at School of the Arts.
Yeah, it was funny because when he said that to me, I had no recollection.
Oh. Maybe he was more of a spy type, like, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, he was in the shadows.
Fellow young people.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So if you can't tell, Billy and I, we just met. Definitely not spent hours at the roastery, just chilling, drinking coffee, and talking shit. So when you opened Hydra, you reached out to Rory.
Yeah.
Because you were looking for like a little more challenge, a little more something new to learn. Mm-hmm. Rory of Ugly Duck Coffee. Just, I know everyone who listens to this knows who we're talking about, but just to be clear. And, you know, you were looking to learn a little more about coffee. And then Rory was like, why don't you go hang out at the roastery with Wade? And I mean, I don't know that I taught you much, but
you definitely talked a lot.
You don't talk enough. Here's the thing about me at the roastery. I'm normally talking that much to the machine.
Grr,
yeah, exactly.
He's making peanuts action noises.
I did all my fun equations on the board with you.
Yeah.
And you
water
kept coming
plus
back.
Coffee equals tasty.
No, you have to add the fire first. Fire plus coffee, then water. Fire plus coffee, then metal plus coffee. That's the grinding, and then water plus coffee.
Yeah,
you gotta get it. Yeah. It's
very complicated.
That's why you need the whiteboard.
That's why you need a coffee master's degree.
Exactly.
You also just need new markers.
I got new markers and those are dead now too.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I'm destroying these Expo markers.
One of those lessons. Don't use Sharpie markers on a whiteboard. I keep telling you, Wade, don't do it.
Billy, did you know?
Did you know?
I thought you wanted that thing.
So, before you left, you were thinking about FOV before you moved to Queens.
Yeah.
It was like something you wanted to do. When you came back from Queens, I would say that the vision has kind of been your main focus.
Mm-hmm.
Even working at Rococo and doing great stuff there, making the changes you've made and helping them kind of bring their coffee level up and doing like, you know, going to Joe Bean and that kind of thing. Like you still, you know, FOV has been the thing. So where does FOV, what is FOV? Where does it come from? And, what are you hoping to accomplish?
So, I mean, as an artist, FOV comes from fauvism or fauvism, depending on who you're talking to. It's like a French like art style from like the early 1900s. Basically just like very vibrant colors and aggressive brush strokes. And like when these artists like Matisse and stuff were like first making these paintings, most critics were like, oh, these guys are... I think it was like Le Fauve or something like that, which means wild beast, basically calling them like animals.
They paint like animals.
Yeah, exactly. So Fauve actually technically started when I was in Providence. Me and one of my friends, Josiah, were going to start a skateboard company called Fauve.
Called Fauve.
Which was going to be like super, because we're both visual artists, so we were going to make like these super like cool artsy skateboards, like limited run stuff and like clothes and stuff like that. And then that, like me living in Providence, him living in Rochester, it just like wasn't coming into fruition. So I like, technically I came up with the name FOV. So I just like hit him up and like, I was like, hey,
can I have that?
Can I just like, it's too good of a name to not use.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was like, oh, FOV coffee. And I was thinking like, cause the coffees I enjoy are really bright, like juicy, like funky kind of stuff. So I was like, if I just produce these types of coffees and they're kind of like going with the name, like this very like vibrant, like the vibrancy of like a nice
bright flavors,
yeah.
Bright colors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like things that really pop.
And like coffee is this wild thing. And like, I just felt like it like worked very well together. And FOV coffee, I was like, there's always coffee shops always have to have like almost like a like one word type name, and people are like, oh, I'm going to like say coffee and like stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, that's a cool word, basically. And it's like, goes with two things I love, which is painting and coffee. And it just made sense. And FOV Coffee is like FC, which is like Flower City. And like,
Oh, nice. Like this, yeah, like, Rochester. I had not made that connection.
Yeah, there's like this Rochester connection that I right. had in like the back of my head, even though I don't want it to be like, I don't want to be one of those like coffee companies that's like Rochester strong, like get way too into it.
What are we parodying here?
I don't know. I just think that sometimes people,
oh, I get
when
it.
They're from like a certain city.
It's not cool to like it here. Yeah.
It's just like, is that what you mean? Doesn't have to be the personality of the thing. Like your thing can have its own personality. Yes, it doesn't have to be where it's from.
Well, there you go. I mean, like, and I think that's a big piece of the project, and kind of you're going to see it in the first couple coffees we roll out, this being kind of the second one on the docket, is that it definitely has its own identity. It's it's very much, it's going to be unique. It's going to be these coffees that you're not getting everywhere else. Like, and honestly, like for Aporia, I've always been very just like clean, sweet, basic, simple, approachable. So like this is like even stretch for me. So it's really cool that, you know, we don't have to say other shops are lame for liking it here. but it is like developing your own identity and really pushing that out, not just in like your branding, not just in your name, but in the cup.
Yeah.
So talk about like, let's talk about the very first coffee that's coming out, because it's coming out February 21st. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be out at the Warehouse 175 Dewey, and I'm roasting it this Wednesday. And like the process of getting to this coffee is almost comical. The number of like twists and turns, because we knew what we were looking for, and we had tried a few things that like Marvin was looking at dropping for low phase. And that's kind of the model you're looking at, right? Like you're going to drop some bags, you're going to brew some coffee, come on out. We're going to put up a gallery, right, of your original work.
Yeah. So the whole idea behind FOV, like once I have money, because I'm a poor person, but like once I have money is I'd love to open a shop that is part coffee shop, part like white wall art gallery, like have like shows that are like jurored and like bring this like another art, like cultural center to Rochester where we can like hire artists to teach classes for people that'll be like ticketed and like stuff like that. Like you have to RSVP.
Everyone just hopped up on caffeine.
Yeah, exactly. Who doesn't want to like learn how to do like a monotype and then like be all jittery?
Exactly.
Yeah. Or like, try to give everybody a bunch of like Lino block carving tools and get them all hyped up on caffeine and see if their fingers survive.
Yeah, I was just gonna say find really good insurance, man.
But like, no, I just think that like I love working in coffee and I love being an artist, and obviously working in coffee and being an artist are two things that don't always make you a lot of money.
Right.
But it would be great to be able to like share both of those things in the same space, making a really cool spot.
And they are things that you make spaces to invite other people into. Yeah. So we were sourcing a bunch of coffees. We tried all kinds of stuff that Marvin was looking at. And a couple of things we were like kind of excited about. And then the crops would run out.
Yeah, and they got swept out from under us. One of them we were about to order.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were ordering it like morning, that day. Got bought.
It was a small, like really limited. It was Rwanda, right? The Rwanda?
I think so. And it tasted like straight up like watermelon water. Yeah, it was like insane.
Really special, natural or honey Rwanda. And then we went to Gold Mountain because I was trolling their website and like just saw like, oh wow, they've done all these fun maceration experiments. And even once we had the Gold Mountains in, like there were some really, really nice stuff on the table there.
Yeah.
And Ben Weiner, who is just an excellent coffee professional and a great connect and like, you know, has been selling coffee to shops here or roasters here in Rochester for a long time.
Yeah, fascinating guy. I had a chance to interview him once. Really interesting guy.
Oh, man. Do you think we could repost that to our timeline sometime? Because
Yeah,
Ben Weiner's a great dude.
It's been a while.
We could just talk. I bet he would do another interview.
Oh,
I bet he would do another call.
Yeah, he's a fascinating guy.
Yeah, another Massachusetts guy too, I think. So yeah. maybe he's in Providence now. Anyway,
I think he was in Maryland.
Is he in Maryland now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Somewhere where there's water.
Yeah. Some aren't those all? Is there really a different? No, I'm just kidding. So he gave me like these great prices in a very like informal conversation, and we found a couple we liked that, and they turned out to be the really good price points. And then the next time I talked to him. the price points had all changed and everything was more expensive. Yeah. And we're like, all right, so we're going to have to go back and find something else now. But two of the coffees that we had on the table that day, three of the coffees that we had on the table that day, I was like, I really love these. So I went and bought larger quantities of two of them. And then this third one was the one that you're actually releasing.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, I could get that, but like, I don't know, man, it's just so expensive. And he dropped it back down to the price point he had originally given us. Like, it was just this funny, like, okay, so I call Billy. I'm like, actually, we got it at that price. So like, let's go ahead and drop it. And it is a carbonic maceration, Pacamara, wine yeast inoculated. And what did you love about this coffee?
I just like, I like when things are, have a funkiness to them, even though I don't drink alcohol or anything, but I know that like, that's what a lot of people like about like wines and beers and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it just had a flavor that I had never had in coffee before. Cause it was almost like this like straight, like Concord grape kind of like,
it
almost had like a natural like dryness to it and everything. It was like, but then also juicy at the same time. It was just like, I had never experienced a coffee like that besides that other crazy one that he sent, that like
the fruit Prosecco.
No, the lavender.
Oh, right. Yeah. So they did a lavender maceration.
Yeah. That thing was crazy.
It didn't even taste like coffee.
Yeah. That's gotta be wild.
It didn't taste anything like coffee.
Cause lavender I really like, but it is a very divisive flavor and aroma for people.
Yeah.
But
it was almost hard to do the cupping with that on the table because every sip you took out of something or slurp or whatever you want to call it, whatever the noise you people make.
That you people is roasters, by the way. That's who you people, let's just be really clear here. Yeah.
But it was almost like hard to do the cupping because it was so
potent.
Pungent.
Yeah.
It was like
the
like
whole
you
room
could smell the lavender off of it, which is awesome. Cause it's like, there was nothing to, it wasn't like it was sprayed with like the carcinogenic oils that people spray their coffee
like
with
that
or anything. Yeah. It was just like naturally like I think stuff like that is sick because it's like,
yeah,
who's even thinking about doing that type of thing besides like true coffee people?
Chris, you should pull this up. Go to Gold Mountain and check their offerings because they have a bunch of new macerations. So you're like, who is even thinking of that?
Mm-hmm.
This year they did a pumpkin spice maceration.
Oh,
really?
Which I'm just like fascinated by.
I'm a big pumpkin spice girly. So
same. Yeah. Oh my gosh, how have we never talked about? I love pumpkin. I love a PSL.
I have my wife make me pumpkin pie for my birthday cake, and I my birthday's April 2nd. So
very seasonal.
Yeah,
nailed it. Yep. Yeah, just right there in the pocket.
My biggest problem is cloves. I don't like cloves.
Okay, fair. Fair.
I'm seeing, so the offerings I see, fruit Prosecco, watermelon maceration,
fruit
Pacamara
Prosecco
wine
is also
maceration.
Amazing. Yeah, the Pacamara, that's the one we're releasing.
The watermelon maceration was really good also.
Macatura maceration, which I don't even know where what a maracatura is.
Do you want to know? Or you just...
No, please.
Margo Yipe is the giant variety, right?
Okay.
And Catura is a dwarf variety. And essentially, they were trying to get Catura yields with Margo Yipe flavor, and they crossed them. Now, this variety is so genetically unstable that if you get cross-pollination over like 2-3 generations, you can just end up with Catura bushes.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's a labor of love, but it is like a really unique, really specific. We want this and this, and we bring them together. So I was actually talking to Ben about that, like 3 generations on, you got to make sure you're keeping all the pests away and like things aren't getting cross-pollinated. Yeah. What
so
else?
The rest of the maceration: orange, tropical pear, passion fruit, sugar cane, hibiscus, papaya.
Hibiscus.
Which I love.
I bet that's
that
gonna
idea.
Rock.
Yeah.
Then I also see, you know, many what we would now consider regular processes.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm seeing like specific white grapes that are used, plum sauce. I mean, these are just like there's so many different ones.
It should be
ones.
Said, some of the names are like washed coffees that they have named the lot for the thing that they most approximate the flavor to. So like the blueberry jelly lot, I brought that in, but that's just basically a maracatura that when it's washed, it tastes like blueberries.
Yeah, so that's what I'm seeing. Jelly, so it was like, I was trying to figure out which ones were and weren't. But I mean, that's a lot of different experimentation. And there's some on there. I mean, like sugarcane to me sounds fascinating as a rum person.
Right.
I love like, you know, pressed sugarcane rums.
And, well, and running up the microbial activity.
Oh, and there's
right?
so it's just gonna much. Be... There's so much in sugarcane, especially with spontaneous fermentation.
Seriously.
It just,
I bet it's going to be wild.
Wild.
I bet it's going to... So to further plug Gold Mountain just for a couple of things is... first, I want to say go to their Instagram. They have posted a lot of these going into the tank this year. And it just looks fascinating. It looks really cool. The lavender this year, they did... Basically, however much they did pre-orders and however much got pre-ordered, that's how much they're doing. So they're growing that one. And their prices are, like we've said, they're super high.
Yeah.
But their prices are all cost of production. How do we pay our growers more? How do we engage in biodynamic farming? Mm-hmm. And yeah, we incur more costs. But like you get a super high quality product that like has this super unique identity like you're talking about for Fauve. And is it, the price, the money is going like back into
the community.
Yeah, you
know, it's like ethically...
Yeah, it's sourced. Like a it's such a better way, and I'm looking for more and more ways to position myself in Emporia to bring in more of these coffees. Maybe more of like the washed ones because that's more my speed. But like it's super fun to get to work with Billy and with Fauve and bring in like something like as interesting as the Pacamara wine yeast maceration, and it came in the most beautiful painted
like
wooden
box.
Yeah, hand painted wooden box. So we'll put that up on our socials too. Like. And it was all like vac sealed inside. It was just, it's a brilliant operation. I love what they're doing.
So
and we
cool.
found you your coffee.
Yeah.
So, 21st, what time did we say?
12 to 4.
12 to 4. Right.
Yeah. And the art show, if you go and find my Instagram, Billy T Lyons, my art is, sad. Some would say it's
because of all the Mets hats. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I've
yes.
I make art about like my upbringing and stuff like that in the inner city and like what those like economic struggles and like drug addiction and stuff like that. So my art's kind of always has like this moodiness to it. Which I think will be really cool in the setting that it'll be in because it's like the old warehouse.
Yeah, it really
like
is
super,
just a warehouse.
Yeah, it's super DIY. The show's only up for like one day. I love stuff like that. But the coffee will be very,
very
bright.
Very
bright. And it'll be
it's
a
gonna pop.
Yeah, it'll be a good contradiction.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can I ask an art question in the middle of this? I sit in on too many art podcasts now. So when you're describing it being, you know, there's a darkness to it.
Yeah.
Would you say it's more gritty or melancholic, or is it just more reality of like, is it more just like verite of the experience that you were growing up in? Like, cause there's all different shades of.
Yeah. So I think it's like all of the above almost. Like it's very much like, I grew up during like the crack epidemic and grew up in like pretty severe poverty. And my work is almost like I'm really into like German expressionism, specifically like printmaking.
The Germans are known for their lightness, so that makes sense.
Yeah. So this like, it's very much like a hybrid of like 90s cartoons meets German expressionism where it's like, almost childlike because it's all these things that were happening when I was growing up as a kid and in the 90s and stuff like that. So it's very like you're looking at, like I look at artists like Jacob Lawrence and like Peter Saul and like I don't know, like looking at cartoons like old Ren and Stimpy type stuff where it's
Duck
like
Man, like yeah, those things like, that were like way too adult for the people
yeah,
who were
exactly.
watching them.
And like that's how it feels because I was growing up in these situations that were way too adult for me as a child.
Yeah.
And then the art kind of like reflects that where it's like, oh, this almost looks like it could be a fun cartoon. And then you look closer and you're like, oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So
it's going to be
some of that, but a little bit weirder this time.
Billy has done designs for Pizza Wizard.
Okay, that makes sense.
Coffee roasters.
Yeah.
Justin Innes, whose name gets mentioned here a lot.
We should probably one of my favorite coffee roasters. Definitely more of my favorite than Wade.
Yeah. Well, so Justin was called on this podcast your favorite coffee roaster's favorite coffee roaster. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah,
he's awesome. Pretty accurate. I have never met him in real life.
What?
Yeah, even though I lived in the same city as him for
a year. Never lived in the same city as him, but I've met him several times.
And I can't wait till one day meet Justin. We talk to each other all the time.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's really funny. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, I kind of have a friend that I've never met. But yeah, awesome. He's great, and his coffees are like incredible. And he likes my art, which is cool.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And famously, I hate your art. So, like, that's why he's your favorite.
Yeah. 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 It's mostly that.
All right. So, that's Saturday. And then March 21st, we're doing the second drop.
Yeah.
That's going to be this Ethiopian, the anaerobic.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea. A little more tropical, a little more pineapple. Maybe not as much funk to it.
Get rid of this winter stuff and bringing in some brighter.
By March 21st?
Oh yeah, I mean it's
we'll have
it's,
one sunny day, I'm sure.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Subtropical, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this drop it's going to be beach themed. We're going to fill the parking lot over on Dewey with water.
Yep, sand.
And you're going to have to sit in the Dewey Ave water. And if you've never sat in Dewey Ave water, then you're not from Rochester.
And
have you really lived?
Yeah.
And once you've done that, you can walk around barefoot at any coffee shop, but it won't matter at all. Like, just to really tie the room together here. All right. So, and then, you know, Fall of Coffee, follow. That one's going to have pre-orders. We're doing pre-orders for the anaerobic.
I'm going to do a pre-order for that for, like, all my friends and stuff who have reached out that aren't from the area. So that I can actually ship stuff to people.
And to be clear, the drop on the 21st of February is super limited.
Yeah.
It's first come, first serve. You need to get there.
Yeah.
And you need to check out the art and you need to buy a bag of coffee because it's going to be gone.
Very small amount of coffee, very small amount of some merch.
Like the hat?
Yeah. This hat's a one of one only because I only had one hat. It wasn't on purpose. It was a tester. There will be a few hats, few hoodies. There'll be some donuts from Augie's.
Sweet.
Which is a new bakery. They're gonna be like a kind of grape pie donut, kind of going with
the Concord grape. Yeah. Wow. Very thematic.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm conceptual.
What else? we're gonna hit our final question.
Oh, please.
If we're ready.
All right.
Describe for me.
All right.
Your favorite cup of coffee you've ever had.
So, I'm a big cold brew guy. And
that hasn't come through.
Yeah.
It's you're full of surprises. You're taking us on a left turn here.
Yeah. So, I very much enjoy cold brew. And me and my wife went on our honeymoon a couple years ago to, like, we did like a kind of cross Eastern Canada kind of trip. So we went like Quebec City, then hit Halifax and Prince Edward Island, and then down to Montreal. And I was super sick the first half of our honeymoon, which sucked.
Yeah.
And we were in Quebec City for one day. And I was like, you know what? I don't care that I'm like dying right now. We're going to walk around Quebec City because we're only here for a day. And
this
it was
worth it.
Yeah. And it was really silly for us to only plan one day there because it's a beautiful place. But we were just like walking around and like all over. And I was just like literally snot coming down my nose, like shivering. It was raining.
Oh God. And what time of year was it?
May.
Okay. It's not as bad as it could be, but like not like the hot, hot months. Like that could still be a cold rain.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we happened to be like walking by this one part of Quebec. I don't really remember the area, but it had like some cool shops and stuff. And then there was a shop called, I might butcher the name, but it's called like Kantook.
Kantook.
It's like Kantook. It was a really cool shop. You walked in, they had their roaster just like sitting there and they were like roasting coffee like in the shop while you were like ordering and stuff. It was really small. And I got a cold brew and it was the like fruitiest cold brew I've ever had in my life. It was like I was drinking like straight juice.
All right.
I had like no idea if it was like like I asked them, I was like, what is this? And it happened to be like an Ethiopian that they had. So I like bought a bag of it. But that, I don't know if it's because I was like on my deathbed or not, but I was like, this is the most amazing thing of all time.
That's fantastic. I mean, and you could still have that sensory experience. It must've been good. Yeah, you had that sensory experience even with your head
even with my head clogged up, I could taste how like,
that's really cool. Yeah.
Awesomely bright and fruity that coffee was. And that, whenever I like think of coffees that I've had, that one always pops into my head. And so I'm like, yeah, that must be like the best one.
that's amazing. I love that answer. And again, like yours is probably the most coffee centric answer we've gotten yet because like you remember the coffee itself. But again, it's like we want coffee to be so much more of an experience than just what's in the cup. So, and I think we're going to be providing that experience February 21st. Chris, any final thoughts or questions?
No, I think it sounds good. So what are the plugs again for the Instagram? Because that's where they're mostly going to catch where pop-ups and when are they happening.
Yeah. So it's fauve_coffee. It's FAUVE. And then also if you want to follow my normal Instagram, it's just Billy T. Lyons. That's where it's LYONS. That's where I post
sadboy.art.
Yeah, that's where I post all my sad boy art and my content, which is just nothing.
You mostly. Making coffee usually.
Yeah, it's me pouring mediocre swans in the morning when I'm half asleep.
it's something. The internet needs more of that.
I'm a big really. Milk wiggle guy.
The milk wiggle.
Yeah. I'm Billy the Milk Wiggler. Billy.
When they find the bodies, that's going to be your serial killer name. So Aporia Coffee Co. We're actually going to be releasing the Anaerobic Ethiopia before Billy, and we're doing like a really intentional rollout, so be on the lookout for that. We are going to mention Fav and Billy and all that, but this coffee is just blowing our minds, so we want to give it some nice treatment. Aporia Coffee Co. and AMFM. So we're going to be rolling that out through our partner cafe there, AMFM. And I think that's pretty much what I have to plug right now. Oh, there's one more industry night. I don't know if this will be out by then. Thursday the 19th at Ugly Duck. We've got an ASL workshop. So
that'll be great.
Yeah. ASL for service. Definitely need to head out there and check that out.
Absolutely. And, make sure everybody goes out and checks out all the other shows on the Lunch Hour Podcast Network. Want to welcome Rob Bell officially from both Behind the Glass and now part of Plants and Beats. He makes lo-fi music under the name Alo-Fi and then talks about plants on the same thing. It's a real delight to listen to. Also want you to check out Bossy ROC, a couple women business owners, Kelly Metris and Kelly Bush, talking about the ups and downs of running businesses and being very honest. They were nominated for Best Podcast this year. It's a really great listen, so hopefully you check that out. And Wade, I think we're gonna stay
dialed in.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Make sure to check out all of Billy's art at sadboy.traumadump.art.coffee.net.